Call this meeting to order. PFAC of March 28th, 2013. And the first item on our agenda is the approval of the February 21st minutes of PFAC. And do we have any comments or corrections? I wasn't here, so I'll abstain. I believe Ms. Hughes was not here either. Do we have any comments or corrections?
No, they look good.
All right, so we'll have a motion for approval, please. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain, Tom Hammond abstains.
And Mrs. Hughes abstains.
And Mrs. Hughes abstains.
Mr. Chair, may I refer to as Mrs. Hughes? I am semi-happily married.
I think we need a vote on that. All right. The next matter on our agenda is the approval of the qualified panel of underwriter firms for Orange County financing, which we do this every single year. Ms. Lester, would you fill us in here about what you've got here?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the qualified panel of underwriters, I think we used to, just to give a little background previously, 4 to 5 years, but with the financial turmoil of the last few years and the turnover in the underwriter firms particularly, we've modified the schedule of qualifying underwriter firms to every 2 years. So it's been 2 years since the last time we qualified firms. At this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Richard Mendoza of CEO Public Finance up to present this item.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Richard Mendoza with CEO Public Finance. Welcome back, Mr. Moore.
Thank you.
Item three on your agenda pertains to a request by staff to have you do three things: to approve the qualified panel that is recommended by a review team of three individuals that I'll speak to shortly, to direct staff to submit the recommended list to the board for their consideration of approval, and then finally to redo this exercise again in 2 years. And I'll speak to that as well shortly. By way of background, to give you a sense of the evolution of this process, back in 1996 when Mrs. Hughes was one of the three original members of PFAC, PFAC directed staff to do a procurement process for professionals, financing professionals that included financial advisors, bond counsel, underwriters, disclosure counsel, trustees, and so forth, everybody that effectively we use in our financings periodically. Moreover, PFAC directed staff to complete that process, that procurement process, in two phases. One, which would be the first phase, would be to establish a qualified panel of consultants, just strictly to establish a qualified panel, a pool, if you will, of consultants. Ultimately, that process came about through something that we call a request for qualifications, which is part of what we're doing today. And then the second part of that directive was to do a request for bids or proposals when specific financings surfaced. That process came to be known as the request for proposals. So since 1996, we've done several iterations of that process over the years. The most recent was in 2010 and 2011, in which case this committee and the board approved a panel of 17 underwriters for the qualified pool. The last time Mr. Hammond was a member of that committee, and this time around, Mr. John Moore graciously agreed to be a part of that review process. We circulated.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Who else was on the committee? What other people?
The last time or this time?
This time.
This time it was Mr. Moore. There was a member of the auditor control, a manager from the auditor controller, and then a member of public finance. And so the RFQ, the request for qualifications, was distributed to everybody in the existing panel, as well as our objective to actually move more towards automating the process. We circulated it to everyone that was certified through BidSync, which is a government procurement process. And we received 19 responses from firms that were interested in being considered for the qualified pool. We convened a team, as I mentioned, a PFAC member, one manager from auditor controller, and one manager from public finance. We asked the team members to consider the firms in two different roles and five different evaluative dimensions. The two roles were the role as senior managers and as co-managers, and then secondly, their qualifications and experiences in total years of doing business in the state of California, the number of financings that they've completed specifically in the past 3 years, the par amount of those financings in the past 3 years, the availability of principals that would be assigned to the county from local Southern California areas, Los Angeles County, LA County, or Orange County, San Diego County, Riverside County. And then finally, to consider any litigation or regulatory sanctions that were either pending or settled for each of the firms that were considered. And then we asked the members of the panel to give a up or down vote, a yes or no vote for each of the firms, and to give us comments on their rationale for the up or down vote that they provided for each of the firms that were evaluated. The review team recommended 15 of the 19 firms. Four firms were not recommended. The firms that were included comprised a group of firms that had experiences relative to their peers in specific areas that clearly showed them to be highly prolific in the past 3 years, very, very much in the market. Also, we included firms that the team included firms that had a wide range of experiences in multiple financing areas that the county participates in. And the firms also took into account any litigation or pending investigations by various entities throughout the federal state government purviews. And the 15 firms were recommended. Those firms are actually included in a spreadsheet that should be part of your packet and identifies the comments for each of those firms. So again, the recommendations by staff for your consideration are that you approve the recommended panels of underwriter firms, that you direct staff to go to the board for their ratification of your approval, and that we do this exercise again in 2 years. And incidentally, I mentioned that I was going to talk about the prior practice of doing the exercise every 4 years as opposed to 2 years. As Mrs. Lester mentioned, we used to do it every 4 years, and we found out that in the past several years, because of the changes that occurred in Wall Street, many of the firms were either merged with other companies, or the players within those firms changed or jumped from one firm to the other. So we figured it would be prudent for the county to do this exercise every 2 years. Now, because many of the attorney firms were much more stable, the request from PFAC was to continue the exercise of doing that every 4 years, and for financial advisors to do that every 3 years. So that's pretty much the background of the exercise that you are being asked to take action or consider action today on.
Okay, who would like to interrogate Mr. Mendoza about this process? Mrs. Hughes, you start, please.
Oh, it's always my pleasure.
Likewise.
When I was on the panel the first time, I was 8, right?
Yes, barely.
I wanted to speak to the last comments that you made. You said we were going to do the underwriters every 2 years, the law firms 4 years, and the financial advisors 3 years?
Every 3 years, correct.
Okay, and you said the attorneys were stable?
Well, relative to the underwriter firms, we found that the principals in the attorney firms were more likely to remain within those same firms. What we didn't want is to have individuals that had been assigned to the county as part of the either RFQ process or the RFP process to be new folks that were not originally part of the qualified panel. And I'm going to free associate for a while, but I'm thinking about Merrill Lynch. Many of the players of Merrill Lynch at the time of the bankruptcy were no longer with Merrill Lynch by the time we did the RFQs. So we wanted to make sure that if there were any residual emotional effects of that experience for members of the PFAC or the board, that we try to keep that in check as much as possible.
Well, my observation, and I'm a former Big 8 accounting firm member, and frankly, if you belong to two of them, you now are an alumni of all of them, because okay. They merged and cross-pollinated. In the last few years, I'm not real sure that the financial advisors and the law firms haven't had some similar movement.
Okay.
It may not be on the agenda here, but I'd sure like you to look at maybe okay. We could be a little more together instead of 2, 3, and 4 years, whether or not that's still appropriate, considering the environment may be that I'm suggesting.
Yes.
I can
yes.
Look at that.
Okay.
And the other question is, I see your recommendation, you've got yes and no.
Correct.
Okay. And you're asking us to approve all of those with the yes.
That is correct.
Mr. Moore?
I was added to the committee as a new kid on the block. I read all 19 of the reports that ran about 30 pages apiece. It was a good job on our part in the county. The questions we asked, the details, I felt very positive at our meeting when we went through and we eliminated four. It seemed obvious that they weren't in the same league is the other 15, so I'm very comfortable with what we came up with.
Okay, Mr. Redeker?
I think you may have just answered my question. I was curious about the four that got eliminated and when they were eliminated, and what prompted that?
In the evaluation, you wrote yes or no and whatever comments, and it seemed that there was a group of people that reviewed them had the same type of comments. It came under, some of them had never run a major offering. There were some questions with respect to suits. Had they been sued by the SEC, FINRA? That the other ones didn't seem to have those problems.
Okay. Okay, seems fair enough. And I also tend to, not that it's necessarily related, but I tend to agree with Mrs. Hughes on the issue of the attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
My experience is that there has been, they aren't quite as stable as you might think.
Mm-hmm.
I see quite a few of them in the real estate world, and it seems very common that the attorney we're dealing with suddenly has a whole new title with a different firm.
Yes.
But that's just my observation.
Mm-hmm.
So no other questions.
And that could be a direction from this committee that we do it, that we complete the process more often. Absolutely. And I should also mention that one of the other things that we considered in making a decision about the firms was how much specifically senior manager experience they had. Because some of the firms had a lot of experience, but it was really co-managing. And we do very little of our financings that involve co-managers.
So. Mr. Groner?
Just to follow up on the remarks, maybe it's not necessary to do it more often, but maybe we can institute in the process that if we have a firm that's approved under the process, that if one of their key principals mm-hmm. were to leave, that we'd be notified of that. Maybe that would speak to your concerns, I think are very, very right on. I don't know if that's part of the process now. But perhaps we could build that in, and then we wouldn't have to redo it to catch every year just to catch the one principal that left the one firm that we'd like to know about.
Well, we do. Go ahead.
May I?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first, what were you going to say?
One of the things that I was going to mention is that the request for qualifications and proposals actually mentioned that any changes in staffing should be cleared with the county prior to that. But if somebody leaves the firm, they're probably not. In fact, our experience is that they typically do not inform us. So that would be certainly an alternative for us for your consideration.
May I, Mr. Chair?
Sure, please do.
Because I am a lawyer, and not that I know how the law firms sometimes work, and I'm not casting any aspersions, believe me, but hypothetically, some of the law firms who will maintain the principals at the top remain stagnant, but the people who are actually billing are moving all around, and we're not being advised of that, and the touch points with the principals become less and less. I would be interested in a quick and dirty analysis on a couple of year sampling as to what the consistency of the staffing was vis-a-vis the percent of the billings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as you know, at Hughes and Hughes, my name can be on the letterhead, and I may not touch a file but for 10 minutes, and my name is still first on the letterhead.
Yes.
Conversely, I could be 99.9%. But the billing should reflect that. Hopefully we have detailed billings that are given. I would sure like a staff member to see. It may be that it's consistent year to year with several of the firms. Do a little sampling. But if we see that second layer is not consistent, maybe we want to consider looking at it.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to add that we can provide that detail, that analysis at the next meeting. In addition, I just wanted to add that the two bond counsel firms that we currently have five-year contracts with and that have been the bond counsel in most of our financings have remained the same key principals, the same staff mm-hmm. have worked on our financings in the last 5 years.
And
to the objection of other law firms that want to break in.
Correct.
Possibly.
Sometimes, yeah. The tendency is that they eclipse the experience of other firms sometimes that are equally qualified. But through the chair, Mrs. Hughes, you're absolutely correct that many times the firms will include a shareholder that participates in many of the financings, but a good part of the work involves paralegals, associates, and other folks in that same organization. So that would be a useful exercise, I would say.
Thank you.
Mr. Kim?
No comment, Mr. Chairman.
All right, Ms. Grimes? Mrs. Grimes?
Yes, I was curious. You mentioned in the write-up that the firms have noted outstanding and settled litigation. I want to know how that influenced your yes or no decision.
What I did is, as a result of all of the firms actually had, I would say with the exception of two, some level of pending or settled litigation or investigation. And so what I did is I called the county council and asked to consult with them about the materiality of those pending or settled litigations or investigations. And there were two things that occurred as a result of that exercise. Number one, what happens if somebody is clear today during this establishment of the pool, but by the time that we get to do an actual financing during the RFP process, the second process, in the interim, they have something that would be questionable, and we concluded that maybe that's really the time when we should look much more carefully at whether they're still clear legally or not. But County Council is here to address some of those issues as well.
And before County Council addresses, I would just like to add that so we do have a second chance because in our RFPs for individual financings, we also ask for that information.
Hi, Angie Duthrie, Deputy County Council. When I took a look at some of the things they had cited in terms of investigation, it seemed that there were practices that had happened industry-wide. So if the SEC came down for some of the way they were marketing some of the adjustable rate securities, well, a lot of firms got dinged across the board. So that's a lot of it seemed to be industry type of practice. So I was comfortable with advising that this is just the panel. We're not saying they're going to do business with the county. And at the time that we want to do an RFP and you know, whatever particular firms respond back, we can then take a much closer look and see at that point in time where they may be. And if there's anything significant, of course, we would disclose that to the body.
Well,
go ahead, please.
Knowing how this works and with counsel here with Mr. Moore, who had just advised me that the couple that are on the no list had huge settlements or significant settlements. Is there a process that during which they remain on the panel that they are to advise us of any filings against them? Any settlements? Any verdicts, judgments, et cetera, during this process, and we're to be advised within 48 hours?
That's why you're an attorney and I'm not, and that's an excellent recommendation that I think we should also implement on an ongoing basis, that they not only advise us of the changes in staffing, the principals that are going to be assigned, but also any additional maybe conditions that they have with respect to investigations or litigation.
I would also urge that you ask the following question under penalty of perjury. Are you aware of any proposed complaints or, you know, that might be filed against you? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll have an investigation going for a year or two before, and until it becomes formalized, county council, you're aware with how they do that, they could let us know of any proposed or pending or probable complaints against them.
We do ask that they, if they have no litigation or investigation, that they include a statement to that effect, but I don't know if that's
going to address. No, what happens if somebody's going to sue you, oftentimes will say, listen, I'm sending you this letter before we're going to sue and give you the opportunity to resolve this before we file the litigation. Mm-hmm. That's still pending. It may result in a settlement that you'll never see unless you ask the right question.
Good point.
Maybe the term we could use is pending or threatened litigation.
Threatened, that's the word, yes. Threatened litigation and our complaints, claims.
Well, see if I understand, Mr. Mendoza, how this works. So we approve this panel for this group of 15 underwriters. And when the county has a financing, is it required that you issue a proposal to all of these 15 firms or just the ones you think would be you'd like?
We historically, what we used to do, I would say in the past, was to qualify firms by specific areas of expertise. We have since moved to just establishing a global qualified panel, and we invite all participants in that pool, all individuals in that pool, to participate in future RFPs. Now, normally what happens is they filter out on their own. They self-exclude by telling us that they don't have any particular interest or experience in the past 3 years. That's happened, in fact, this time around.
So every financing goes out to, it's offered, a request for a proposal goes out to all 15 firms?
That is correct.
On every deal?
That is correct.
Okay. Because I'm looking at this list, and I'm just doing this from memory, but I don't think that there's more than four or five of these firms that have ever done business and underwriting with a county. Maybe, I don't ever remember a William Blair deal, for example.
Correct.
But so the question is that do we need, well, we've already done it. Never mind. I was going to say, that's fine. I guess more competition is better.
So. Yes. And that William Blair and company, and there were one or two others that are new participants to this exercise, that's an artifact of how we cast our net this time around. We went to the bond buyer. We posted a listing that said, if you're interested in doing business with a county, please register with BitSync. So some of the new firms that in prior years would not have participated now expressed a desire to do so.
I remember an event, you helped me out with this, mm-hmm. but there was an event several years ago. I don't think it was an underwriting firm. I think it was a financial advisor mm-hmm. that we rejected, and he came and appealed and
that
went to this
correct.
Process. Have any of the rejects appealed this time around or complained?
I believe that there is at least one firm that's here today that has asked to speak. I don't know if it's going to be an appeal, but has asked to speak with this committee.
Oh, because their firm was excluded.
Yes.
Okay. Would you recommend that we listen to him?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Is this an appropriate time for him?
I think it would be.
All right. Whoever it is, please.
Hello, members of the committee. My name is Chris Vink. I'm president of Great Pacific Securities.
I'm sorry, Great what?
Great Pacific Securities.
Right.
We're a local firm here in Orange County. We've been around for 23 years here in Orange County. From looking at your list, I believe we're the only firm headquartered in Orange County. We're a financial services firm that provides underwriting for both the state of California, LA County. Last year, we participated in approximately $25 billion in underwritings. And in the secondary markets, we trade about $2 to $3 billion a month in securities. Pull this down, I'm not quite so tall. We looked at how they put the, at your RFP process was quite intense, and you asked a lot of very good questions. And we looked at the results, and we understand some of how you came to some of your decisions. But one of the things that we noticed, at least in our instance, was that one, we have no, in the last 23 years, we have had no litigation whatsoever, and we have no threatened or pending litigation currently. We also noticed that you selected firms based on their experience as a lead underwriter or a primary underwriter, mostly. That was the only negative about our firm. And you know what? That's not what we do. We actually help with the distribution of securities, so we bring in more buyers of the firm. That's our strong suit. You only need one quarterback. And from the way we read this, it's as if the whole team is comprised of quarterbacks. You have a lot of lead underwriters, but sometimes you need the guys at the bottom. You know, you need the digging the ditches and helping you distribute. That helps bring the interest rates down because it helps create demand for the product. And that's where we come in. We can help you lower your interest rates by bringing in additional buyers to your product. The more buyers we bring in, the more demand, the lower the yield's gonna be because the demand's gonna, you know, it's a supply and demand issue. The other thing is local support. Again, we are a local firm. The only local firm, I believe, that's headquartered here in Orange County that applied to be one of the folks in your panel of firms that could possibly be selected. 90% of our employees also live in Orange County, from San Clemente all the way to Huntington Beach. And you know, joining me here today is Dave Swish, our CEO, who lives in the city of Orange. So again, we're really based and entrenched here in Orange County. And we've paid millions of dollars in taxes over the years to Orange County. And one way to look at this is, listen, any revenues generated or earned by the firm come back to Orange County. You could smile and say it's kind of like getting a discount because some of it's flowing back in through into the coffers of the county. So that being said, we ask that you reconsider and include Great Pacific in your inclusion of the panel. Again, you need people on the ground that help bring in additional folks. And it's not going to hurt your, we're not coming hand in hand. We do these every day, all day long. This is what we do. We help distribution. We help bring the rates down. As a matter of fact, yesterday we were just asked to be a co-manager for the State of California Public Works deal. Earlier this month, we helped underwrite over $2 billion for the State of California as well. And we were one of the only, I believe, three firms that was selected to be in all portions of the deal, both the taxable and the tax-exempt and the BAPS. There were three portions of that deal. We were the only firm selected for all three portions. And again, it's because of our experience and the diverse types of underwritings and the diverse types of collateral that support those underwritings. So I want to thank you for your time and again ask that you reconsider putting Great Pacific, a local firm, on your panel. And then again, when the time comes, you would consider us to help with your distribution and help you have a successful offering at better yields.
Well, may I ask a question?
Certainly.
If in fact, one of the criteria that I hear you say that your firm wasn't often a lead underwriter,
That's correct, that's correct.
Well, the question is that why do you need to be a lead underwriter? Can't you be a co-underwriter and continue to do business with the county?
If I'm not mistaken, if this, and if I am please let me know. But I believe the panel would be of the folks of all your underwriting, under all your underwriters. And I believe if you're not in the panel of underwriters to be selected from, then you can't be in the issue.
I don't believe that's right. Is that right, Richard? I think, in other words, we this is all these people that we're approving are lead underwriters, and they bring in people like Great Pacific Securities as for the distribution. Isn't that correct?
The two comments. One is you can only participate in future RFPs if you're on the qualified panel. So that's the first answer. The second answer is that the evaluation team considered first and foremost senior underwriting experience, and in the case of Great Pacific, is it?
Sure.
There were no, in the past 3 years, instances of senior underwriting experience. It was all co-managers. And the financings that we do typically do not involve co-managers.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
If I, excuse me. If I may add, when the county is issuing an RFP, we're looking for a lead underwriter. And the underwriter is part of the team, is a key financing team member in developing the financing, assisting the county in the rating agency presentation. Since I've been in public finance the last 7 years, I'm not aware of us issuing a financing that required more than just one lead underwriter.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
That is correct.
I mean, even with the teeters and all of those things, we only have one underwriter?
Yeah,
do the
yeah that is correct. Yes.
I see.
Now, clearly the committee can decide that we're going to pull into this group of folks, folks that have an enormous amount of experience as co-managers, which would be the case in Great Pacific's instance, but...
Do you think that there's a rational reason that you should re-examine Great Pacific Securities' resume here and their request?
Mr. Chair, if I might add, the staff perspective is we agree with the evaluation committee's recommendation. And, you know, I appreciate Mr. Vink coming here today and describing their experiences. And I have no doubt, especially with the state of California, who is so big, they've got to have more than one underwriter to have a successful offering, that there's great value in co-manager experience for those large offerings. But... we don't believe that the County of Orange fits in that criteria.
Okay, so you don't recommend re-examining Mr. Vink's application.
Let me qualify the answer by mentioning that what we try to do is we try to follow the process that is in place, that we think that we can defend the methods that we've used. And the methods that we've identified are senior manager experience. So with that in mind, I would say consideration should be no.
Mr. Moore, you're on this committee. Do you have any opinion about this?
Yes. I felt very comfortable on the ones that we did reject. I think there was a question. I don't have my notes, unfortunately, with me on the capital structure that we asked what free capital was available to help on that. And I remember looking at it, and I think that was part of the process. Do you recall, sir, what you put down for your capitalization?
I don't remember, but I can tell you what it is. Yeah, and it's very similar to several of the firms that are actually on your approval list.
Mm-hmm. What was the number?
I have to do the math, so bear with me for a moment. the net unencumbered capital is $2.5 million, which on an underwriting perspective, reaches up to approximately being able to take down $50 million. And again, I'm doing an approximate on the rules of SEC and what you have to post to do the whole thing. And again, we're looking to make sure that we can be in the process so that, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but you do only need one senior, but oftentimes the one senior won't distribute the whole thing all themselves. Or if they do, you certainly could benefit if you had competition in there to make sure that they're finding all the buyers for you and get the best rate for you. You know, if they're not just sending it all to just their customers at a good rate. You got to remember, they have to balance between what's good for their current customers and what's good for you. And if you only have one fox, so to speak, guarding the hen house, you know, that's a tough balance for them. Where if you have more than one person in your deal, they're going to be competing against each other. And as we know, competition always drives down costs, which would only benefit the county.
Well, it sounds to me that we do have a process in place. We followed it, Mr. Mendoza, Mr. Moore, Ms. Lester seemed to think that we did an appropriate job. The only thing I can recommend is that you try again next year or 2 years from now when we do this process again, and to keep working on it. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for hearing me. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for trying to participate. We appreciate that.
All right, and hopefully we can get a local firm in next time. That would be great.
Please do. Please do. Any other comments for Mr. Vink before? Yes, Sherry.
Thank you, Chair. Just a question on the process for staff. Now, once we identify this list, how long will this list, one, be in effect? And will everyone on the list be allowed to bid for the next county deal? I'm just a little unclear, as we just don't do this that often. Could you give me that? And I may have one follow-up question.
2 years, and yes. 2 years, and we will do this exercise again. And everyone on this list will be eligible to participate in future requests for proposals, to make bids, in other words, for financings as they surface.
And because, just to follow, if I might, through the chair, because the underwriter really works for their, you know, the Dodd-Frank Act identified that underwriters do not work for really the county. They are working for their investor. I mean, obviously, we pay them for the cost of underwriting the deal, and you know, but it is important to recognize that they do work for, you know, those investors they have, and that's where competition comes in, which I think is very important, that you have adequate competition so that you can make sure that the county is getting the best price for what we're selling, so that we make sure that we, of course, try to get the lowest yields on the debt that we issue. And you're indicating again that since we don't use a co-manager style is the main reason, because certainly my only concern would, is there a deal that would come up in the next 2 years that would allow us or that would be appropriate for a co-manager? And if we don't have someone on the list that does, it appears to do a good job for co-manager, we would be excluded from that capability. But the other side is, if they provided the lowest bid and they had never managed a deal, would they win the bid? And I know I asked, does that make sense? Is it the lowest one, or do you go through an evaluation when we actually go through the RFP? What is that next stage?
The RFP is going to ask very similar questions to what we had in the RFQ. So we're going to ask the amount of senior management experience in the past 3 years, the par amount of the total bonds that they've issued in the past 3 years as senior managers. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, local presence, which was true in this case, and then finally, the compensation package. So the compensation will be one of the pieces that will be included in the RFP that was not included in the RFQ process.
Okay, and if I might have just one follow-up question on. So we will go through the same process, and you would go through a series of evaluation in looking at that. And were there any other from the panel that did it, were there any other co-managers that would have made the list if we were looking for co-managers, or was it just Great Pacific? Because again, at the time, it doesn't sound like we are going to do one, but if they were the only co-manager, it might be something I would consider supporting, adding them to the list if we go out, because if they didn't meet the senior requirement, we have one co-manager, they would probably not be able to be that co-manager for us on a deal over the next 2 years.
Through the chair, there is actually one firm that was included in the qualified panel last time around, one of the 17 firms that was excluded this time because they had no senior experience.
So there were two?
at least one additional firm that I can remember off the top of my head.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, as a point of clarification, on the ones that we did select, they did have, they managed it, but they had, all of them had co-managing experience. That's what we didn't point out. That was also a question.
So they
all the ones selected were managers, and they were also co-managers on different ones.
Right, but you're telling me that being a co-manager really doesn't have any value because that's not what we're looking for the deals we had. You know, you were looking for the combination of both, I guess.
Correct.
But primarily, really, the manager.
That
so,
is correct.
You know, because I do think that being local is important, and I guess, you know, hopefully the value today, because it sounds like there are more than one that were just co-managers, you know, my goal is that they would go back out, look, because I do think there are opportunities, perhaps, coming up, and, you know, again, as we come back out, that might be something, because I like the fact that they are here locally, and we like those tax dollars to stay local, and I know that, you know, the county, you know, as a general practice, tries to take, you know, tries to look at where we have local presence in selecting for some of these different RFPs.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman,
sure.
just to add a couple of points, when we do issue an RFP for an underwriter, we also have a financial advisor who is working for the county, and it is the financial advisor's job to ensure that we are getting the best pricing, the best structure in the market available at that period of time. So we do rely a great deal on our financial advisor. We do understand that the underwriter, and we do sign a form saying that we are aware that the underwriter is not necessarily working just for us or for us. It's the Dodd-Frank form. In addition, I just wanted to add, if we issue bonds on a competitive sale, then we do not issue an RFP for an underwriter. On the day of sale, underwriters have the opportunity to bid, to purchase bonds.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have to apologize. I'm in trial, been ordered back to trial. I have the only job in the world. If I don't show up, I can be thrown in jail without a warrant. If I may, is the question if it's going to be called soon? Otherwise, I would like to give my proxy, and my indicated vote would be to approve the list as presented.
All right, I think we have a quorum without you.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
Duly
noted, thank you. And you're excused, Mrs. Hughes. Thank you.
So he didn't want my vote, huh?
No, we want you to keep coming back for future meetings, please.
That's right. Okay, do we have any other comments on any of these, any issues regarding this matter? Any other comments? Are we ready for a vote? Now that Mrs. Hughes is gone. All right, you're in. May we have a motion to approve the panel of qualified underwriters as identified by the staff? May we have a motion for that, please?
I'll make the motion.
Do we have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion is passed. We have number two item. We are directing the CEO to complete a new RFQ for underwriting firm in every 2 years as opposed to the previous 4 years. Is that correct? Do we have a motion, please?
So moved.
So moved. Second?
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Nobody opposed. Okay. Do we have any other comments or questions from the public who would like to address the panel? If not, this meeting is adjourned.